ladies and gentlemen of the movie watching world, which happens to be most of the world. This is David Double D Dennis, and this is Movie Madness! And you're joining us at a very special time where we're about to look at the films of Studio Ghibli. But luckily, I don't have to do this alone because I'm joined with
Andrew Robuckapalooza.
Oh, you're still at the Robuckapalooza right now? That's been like 2 weeks.
I can't get out of it, Dave. I'm trapped. Someone please save me.
Okay, I'll swing by sometime next week and get you out of there.
Okay, please come soon. They're watching me.
Who is?
The Robux.
Okay. I thought you were about to say the robots for some reason.
The robot Robux.
Robuckots, Robotux. That just sounds wrong. Anyways, this episode we're about to look at a movie that's very dear to my heart, but not as dear to your heart. My Neighbor's the Yamadas. Before that, though, I guess we'll get into something actually very special that we have this week that we almost never have on this show, which I keep telling people to do it, and that's some feedback.
What?
Yeah, we actually got some feedback, which, by the way, if other people want to send some feedback, feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line Movie Madness. And this person actually put the subject line Movie Madness with 1, 2, 3, 4 exclamation points. So
whoa, we have a big fan, apparently.
Exclamation points and happy faces and stuff like that are optional, but they are welcome. If you would like to, spice up your subject line, if you so desire. And this was actually sent to us by Amanda. I won't say her last name, just because,
I thought you were going to say a man, and I'm like, oh really, Dave?
No, quite the opposite. I'm assuming. I've never met a man named Amanda. It doesn't really say... She just signed it a new fan, Amanda, so I'm assuming it's a girl.
It sounds like it would be a perfect title for, like, a mystery novel. A Man Named Amanda.
That sounds, that doesn't sound like the perfect title for a mystery novel. That sounds like probably actually the worst title for a mystery novel. Or, like, a really bad comedy about cross-dressers.
Starring Adam Sandler.
Yeah, as a man and Amanda. No. But anyways, getting to the actual email. Hey guys, been listening to you. Or should I do this in a weird voice? Because I think that's what we did before, now that I think of it.
Yes, weird voice. Weird voices for the win.
I'll try and do it like this. Hey guys, been listening to you for a little while. Thanks for the reviews. You three are pretty much always fun and informative.
Okay, this is horrible. I'm gonna stop.
Okay, I didn't want to say it, but it needed to happen.
Yeah, alright. Is Scott okay? He's been missing off and on. That's
He's
true,
dead.
Actually.
He's dead.
You wish.
Oh, great.
No, Scott, because Scott only pops up on our, like, email chain to annoy us, basically, at this point, but... No, Scott has a job and basically has a hard time working around that, whereas I only work off and on.
And
I don't know what Andrew's doing with his work life.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing with my life in general, so...
Okay, that works. Unfortunately, we can't get Scott on all the time, although I would like to. He's definitely coming on for one of these Studio Ghibli films, because it was his choice. So I'm not doing it without him, because I didn't even really want to do that movie. But anyways, we'll get to that in another episode.
Movie Madness drama.
Uh-oh. Okay, anyways, so yeah, sorry about Scott. But all right, so, and could Andrew give a list of good movies to get into the kaiju/monsters movie genre? That'd be pretty sweet. Do you want to do that right now?
Sure. If you're looking to get into the kaiju movie genre, of course, start out with stuff like Godzilla, the original Japanese one, Gojira, easily, that kind of thing. That is a really good starting off point. Then go to some of, like, the classic, I know it's not kaiju film, but, like, giant monster films like King Kong or 20,000 Miles to Earth, I think it is, or 20 Million Miles to Earth. And some of the classic, like, claymation monster films. And that will kind of get you into the feel. And then watching stuff like Godzilla, the entire series of Godzilla is really fun. But I wouldn't recommend checking out some of the later stuff in the 70s unless you're looking for some really, really goofy stuff. If you're a more serious filmmaker, going into something like the 90s Godzilla movies might be a better idea. Although it does start off with, it's not really all in the 90s because the original one is like Godzilla 1985. And that one is harder to find, but that one's really good. And also, a little known fact, watch the Gamera movies from the 90s. They are actually really, really good monster movies. And, like, they have perfect special effects. And they're like, on par with the Godzilla movies at the time. And some of them are even a bit better. So if you're looking to do Gamera, is actually not a bad idea. That and, like, Power Rangers is always easy to get into if you're looking for TV. Or Attack on Titan is also TV, and that's been really good. Anyways, I've been talking for a while now, but...
You're making me want to get into this shit now. It's just, your enthusiasm for it is contagious.
I know. That was my whole plan.
It's amazing. All right, so the email goes on. As for your latest episode on Pacific Rim, I have to agree with both David and Andrew. The movie was a stupid, fun kind of movie, and we haven't had that in a while.
But does she agree with Scott? That's the real question.
Well, I guess so. Well, I guess not, actually, because she would have to be completely silent to agree with Scott. Oh, all right. Anyways, but when I watch a giant robot movie, I was to watch. Oh, I think she means I want to watch giant robots. I didn't say that to make fun of your grammar error. I just couldn't understand it. Sorry. I was expecting more monster variety, and we just didn't get that. I'll agree with that, actually. The characters were flat. Yeah, for the most part. And those scenes reminded me of Evangelion. Sort of.
I've never actually seen that. Is that any good?
It is. Well, if you like giant monster stuff, I would recommend it, because every episode is like... They're called angels, actually, that come and attack Earth because God's pretty much, like, pissed off with mankind and just keeps sending angels to destroy us. And we have these Avas, we call them, that are, like, you know, going to protect us. And they're giant robots. So
giant robots versus Jesus, basically?
Versus the Jesus monster. Monster Jesus.
Okay, well, I guess I have to watch it now.
Yeah, and there actually is a lot of, like, biblical allusions and, like, weird, like, detail that goes into the show, and it gets super trippy by the end. Especially if you watch the movie, the end of Evangelion, it's probably one of the trippiest things you'll ever see in your life.
I'll check it out.
But, yeah, it's pretty nuts. I've only seen it once. I didn't like it, I didn't like it as much as all my friends did, because people like Mike and Scott and Pierce are all obsessed with it. But I still enjoyed it. Alright, anyways, Del Toro's attention on detail was awesome as always, however. Thank you again for your insights, but... She kind of drags out that word. Could you watch more terrible films? The way you rip into them is hilarious. Big giant happy face. Well, can't wait until the Studio Ghibli stuff. Should be fun. A new fan, Amanda.
Well, I'm sure we'll be making her proud today.
I disagree with that.
Let's get into the episode.
Yeah, so I was looking forward to you trying to do your own version of Scott's plot for this movie, because it's going to be about 10 seconds long.
So. Okay, so a bunch of people live their lives, and they're really poorly animated, and the dad is voiced by Jim Belushi, and stuff happens... And then at one point, the animation style changes for, like, half a scene, and you're like, oh, that's cool. And then they go back to the boring style, and it ends in a bunch of music going, oh, blah, 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 we're a happy family, blah, blah, blah. The end.
That was actually longer than I thought it was going to be. Like, my version would just be, there's a family with, like, grandma, dad, mom, son, daughter, and a dog. And they do a bunch of normal family stuff. The end. That's it. There literally is no plot for this movie. It's actually done in like a series of vignettes that are about between 3 and 10 minutes.
When was the last time your family broke out in song?
And okay, like that part, in the air? That part is not normal. There are parts that they use their animation skills to great effect. In the parts where they like they have like a metaphor, like at the beginning of the movie, the grandma is like giving a speech at the mom and dad's wedding. It's doing like a flashback, and they kind of animate, like instead of them showing the wife like giving birth, which would be horrifying, kind of animate them like finding their son in like the water inside of like a giant peach.
Wait,
and then the daughter is in like a tree.
Wait, you need to tell me that wasn't real?
I don't think so. Maybe. It's Studio Ghibli. You never know.
I thought babies came from peaches in the ocean, Dave.
We're going to have a talk after the show, Andrew.
My life is a lie.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure that stuff wasn't real, considering the rest of the movie is all just like normal, you know, I have to go to work today kind of stuff. But, you know, it's pretty funny. It's basically what this movie is, like, literally, is Studio Ghibli actually took a very popular comic strip in Japan, and they just took it and animated it like a comic strip that was basically played out before you on the screen. So it would almost be like if someone took Calvin and Hobbes, just took all the best, like, stories from Calvin and Hobbes and made, like, an hour and a half to an hour 45 minutes of little short Calvin and Hobbes jokes. So some of them are really short, like just one note jokes, and some of them are like kind of longer stories. There's one where like the daughter gets lost in a department store. There's one where the dad tries to take care of these bikers that are tearing up the town, which is what you referenced, where the animation changes randomly, which is kind of a weird stylistic choice. But yeah, I need you to play devil's advocate here, because personally I actually really enjoy this movie. I think
it's well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's well made, but I found the film pretty darn boring. Like, it didn't really capture my attention that much. I was kind of just like, this is just regular, like, I could definitely tell it was, like, comic strip based, because the pacing felt a little weird, since it's just, like, a mishmash of all these different comic strips, basically. It doesn't really tell a coherent story, and you don't really, like, the pacing can really changes from scene to scene, and it kind of gets hard to get into the rhythm of the movie, I find. But, like, it's fun. I can understand why someone would like it. I just was really, really bored by the film. It's kind of one of those movies where I'm just like, yeah, okay, families love each other, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, let's all go hug and sing. What song did they sing? I'm trying to remember. What song is that?
Que sera, sera.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever will be.
And what will be is a lot of boring, normal shit.
Okay, well, I agree and disagree. I think that this movie is filled with, like, a normal family. I think that's what I like about it, actually. They don't really try to make them too insane. They just make them... It makes it feel like you're actually just watching sort of an average family. But it's still funny. And I actually like the fact that the pacing's kind of all over the place, and that it doesn't develop a plot. I feel like it makes it... It's a very light movie. Like, I can just throw it in any time and just sort of sit back, turn off my brain, and just enjoy, like, sort of a string of jokes, if that makes any sense. So I definitely was not nearly as bored by this movie, but I can understand why people would be.
Now, question, what are some of the jokes you really like? Because I don't recall laughing too much at this movie.
I don't know if I laughed as much as I just, like, felt heartwarmed, I guess.
Oh, there's the difference.
I just more enjoyed watching these people sort of get through their lives. There is a few really funny parts. There's, like, a part where the dad gives the son alcohol for the first time, and he's like, it's too dry. And then they're, like, chasing him down the street.
Yeah, I don't know. Why was that? Like, why did they chase him down the street? It's
because,
too dry?
Because he's, like, commenting on the alcohol like he's been drinking for years. And they're like, our son is, like, 12 and he's already a drunk.
Oh, okay. I guess that kind of makes sense. Yeah. Grumble, grumble, grumble. I think the difference is that you have a heart, and I sold mine on eBay for a bunch of Simpsons seasons.
Okay. That's a pretty fair trade, I guess. No, actually, the weird thing is, in real life, I really have very little desire to actually have a family of my own. I feel like they just sort of... I think it was Louis C.K. that said that children walk out of your vagina and then stomp all over your dreams. And it's so true. And I really am not ready for that to happen in my life. But this is the only movie I watch, and I think, maybe having a family wouldn't be that bad, actually. Like, if it can be like a Studio Ghibli movie, sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess your family will not be like a Studio Ghibli movie.
Probably not. It'll probably be more like Malcolm in the Middle. But I liked the sort of like the style of this movie where it just goes from one like sort of theme to another. So there's one where it's all about the wife cooking and stuff like that. I don't know. I just feel like I'm just saying the same thing over again. I like this movie. Like, I have a very boring opinion on this movie.
It was a film? Have you ever read the comic strip?
No, I haven't, actually.
What is wrong with you, Dave?
I don't really have the initiative to actually go out and find the Japanese comic strip and try and find a translated version of it.
Oh, so you must love it so much, Dave. You can't even...
Okay, I don't love this movie that much. It's definitely not my favorite Studio Ghibli film, but I would probably rank it in my top 10.
How many personally. Studio Ghibli's are the films? Are there like 12? I mean,
no, there's like 20 something, I think.
Oh, really?
There's like a pretty I think they're on to like 22 or something like that now.
Well, we've got a year's more worth of podcasts to do on every Studio Ghibli film.
You could do a podcast just talking about Studio Ghibli, really.
Yeah, no, that would make sense. Studio Ghibli cast?
Something like that. Something we won't do. But hey, if someone listening to this wants to do it, go ahead.
No one listening to this will want to do it.
I think one of the reasons why I actually enjoyed this movie, though, is because... the girl who got me into Studio Ghibli and basically lent me all of her Studio Ghibli films, which may or may not have been illegally pirated. This was the only one she said she wasn't able to actually finish it. She got so bored watching this movie that she couldn't finish watching it, and she basically hates it.
Wait.
Like she ranks it as like the worst Studio Ghibli movie, so I had really low expectations of this one going in.
Wait.
I was like, this is really good. How could you not like this?
So do you still talk to this girl?
Yes. Not as much as I used to, but it's not... We're still friends.
Are you sure you just don't like this movie in spite of her? You're just like, I love this movie! Ha 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 ha!
Screw you! This movie's the best!
So, no. What did you think of the animation style, and what can you really compare it to? I don't know what kind of...
It's really hard. Well, obviously, it was meant to be like a comic strip come to life, and that's basically what it looks like. There's not really anything else. There's no other movies, really, that I can compare to this, except maybe, like, the Charlie Brown TV specials.
Oh, yeah. That could work.
It's kind of similar. It's like the Japanese version of Charlie Brown.
Maybe it's like the Japanese version of For Better or For Worse.
I think For Better or For Worse is a little bit better drawn. Like, it's more realistically drawn, I should say. These characters are a lot more cartoony.
And is the plot a little worse? For better art, but worse storytelling?
I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of For Better or For Worse. Too soap opera-y for me.
I liked how they actually aged for a while, and then they just kind of scrapped that.
Stopped,
after.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. Like, in the 90s, kind of, when I was actually reading comic strips. And there was a big thing about it because, like, one of the characters turned out to be gay or something. Like, one of their uncles.
Oh, gay uncle.
And it was, like, a big deal because this was, like, 1998. It wasn't normal to be gay in the 90s.
What other, like, do you know of any other, like, really popular Japanese comic strips that have even been made into movies or that do you even know about? Like,
no.
I don't really know any others.
I don't know anything about Japanese comic strips, really.
Like, what if this is, like, the absolute worst one and there's, like, a million better like ones out there?
Yeah, they're all, like, Calvin and Hobbes quality.
There's, like, a Citizen Kane of,
of comic strips.
From Japan.
There probably is, because everything's, like, higher quality in Japan.
Really? That's questionable.
Including the people! No, I'm just
whoa!
I have some Japanese friends. They're very nice.
But those Canadian friends...
Ugh, hate those guys.
And half of our listening audience just stopped listening.
Bye, guys! No, another interesting fact about this movie, actually, is it was Studio Ghibli's first 100% computer animated movie, believe it or not.
What? Really?
Yeah. It was their first digitally animated film, which you would not tell from watching it at all. It looks like it was drawn with crayons and pastels.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
Who the hell are they neighbors to?
There's like a guy... who they hit the ball into his yard at one point. I think that might have been his neighbor. Playing catch.
Why do they just call it the Yamadas? They're not neighbors to anyone.
Yeah. It's not really about being neighbors with them.
I'm curious. Do you listen to Studio Ghibli films with the subtitles or with the American voices?
I've always done the American voices, but with this one, just for a different experience for this podcast, I decided to do it kind of half and half, actually. I started out with the subtitles, and then I was eating nachos, and so I had to keep looking down to, like, dip them into the cheese dip. And so I was like, I can't read this and eat the nachos at the same time. So for the time I was eating nachos, I switched it back to American. And then when I finished the nachos, I switched it back to Japanese. And then I just sort of went back and forth for the rest of the movie. And I found I actually liked the American a little bit better. Because there's like more jokes that are like more like pop culture-y. But it kind of actually makes the movie a little bit, I don't know if punchier is the right word.
Like
the Japanese version, if you just read the subtitles, the humor is a lot more dry and a lot more subtle. Like, it comes through a lot more in the dubbed version.
Okay, yeah.
So I would actually recommend watching this one with the dub. Even though I, like everyone else in the world, am not the world's biggest Jim Belushi fan.
I don't know, Jim Belushi.
According to Jim, come on.
What I was gonna say is that it's weird with everything else that comes out of Japan or any foreign material, I always listen to the subtitles with the original language. But with Studio Ghibli films, they're the only things that I listen to with the American subs on them. It's so weird.
Because it's like all famous actors like Matt Damon and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I saw James Belushi and I was like, I have to listen to James Belushi talk.
Yeah.
I don't even like James Belushi.
Molly Shannon, what's the kid from Spy Kids?
Which kid from Spy Kids? There's like, the whole movie is Spy Kids.
The main, Daryl Sabera, like the main
Oh, that guy.
Kid.
Yep.
Yeah, he plays like the son.
Yeah,
Tress McNeil, who does like 8 billion voices on The Simpsons and Futurama, plays the grandma.
Yeah, she sounded really familiar. She sounded like Seymour's mom. She had like the voice
of
Seymour's mom.
Yeah, I think she's Seymour's mom. She's the crazy cat lady on Futurama. She's like the old lady with the really saggy tits. I don't even think they've given her character a name. Yeah, she's like a million different voices on those shows. She's like one of Matt Groening's like favorite people to work with.
Nice.
So
go. So he didn't go against the Groening.
Oh, that was terrible.
I know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else to say about this movie.
Whatever.
Because it's
we'll
not
see,
like we can.
We'll see.
Yeah, we can't really comment on the plot because it's not really there.
I didn't think
did they do enough stuff
with the little girl. The little girl kind of got the short shaft. She had like one segment that
had
stuff with her.
Yeah, that's true.
And the rest was all about that boring boy.
There's a few moments where she kind of pops up to make like one or two jokes.
Yeah.
Which is too bad because she's, especially if you hear her original Japanese voice, she's so cute. They needed more cuteness from that little girl.
Also, we never found out how the kid's date went. They got this whole thing about the brother getting a date, and we never found out how it went.
I don't think that was the important part, though. Like,
what if getting a date, he accidentally dated like a serial killer? Or like...
I can't imagine that in a Studio Ghibli movie.
It was like
sorry.
A pedophile or like something terrible, and we'll never know because we never saw it. All I'm saying is these are troubling times.
I think it was a girl that he actually knew from school that he was talking to.
Yeah, sure. Yamada 667 online.
No, actually, that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when he gets the date and he's like punching everything in his room because he's so excited. Because I watched that, I'm like, that is exactly me when I get a date.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. But to me, it's not important how the date went. I think the important part is actually his reaction to the date.
I'll get back to you how accurate it is when I finally do get an actual date. Ba-dum-boom-tsh.
Oh, sad. You'll do that too, probably. You'll be like punching things out of excitement.
Only people, Dave. Only people.
You'll be running down the street punching random people. I got a date. What the hell? Man.
So what was your favorite sequence?
I would say that like date sequence actually is probably the one that sticks out to me the most.
Okay, your second favorite sequence.
Probably the one where the grandma and the wife are talking.
Oh,
and the
so you mean
it's kind
most of
like
movie?
Well, no, it's where they're walking down the street and it's kind of a sad scene at first. Like the grandma's like, I wonder how many times I'll see the trees blossom. And the wife's like, what are you talking about? You have plenty of years left. You're only 70. And then she's like, so I guess about 30 more times.
Aww.
See, yeah, it's really dry humor.
I like the...
Someone listening to this is going to laugh at that, I hope.
I like the part where where the dad's losing his hair, and then the grandma makes a comment about the hair, and then he makes a comment about the teeth. And then it's like, hello, hello, lol. That's funny.
Ha ha ha. That or where the dad is like trying to watch one thing on the TV and the mom's trying to watch something else and they go into this weird dance where he keeps like trying to block her remote with his newspaper.
Yeah, why don't they?
And they do this
TVs?
they do this weird like Taekwondo thing.
You know, why don't they just
hey,
get
this
two
was
TVs?
This was 1999. People didn't have two TVs way back then. Come on. TVs weren't like $400 for a 52-inch LCD like they are now.
Fine. I'll accept it.
Plus, if they got two TVs, that whole sequence wouldn't have happened, and the movie would be boring, because, like...
It would literally just be them sitting and watching TV.
Yeah, there'd be a whole scene of them just watching TV together. It would be stupid.
Oh, I really like this show. I like this show. Let's watch it in separate rooms and never talk.
3 months later, let's get a divorce. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
So what did you actually think of the American voice acting? Because we kind of talked about that, but I didn't really get your opinion.
I liked it. I don't know why, but I don't even like James Belushi, but I actually enjoyed him in this movie fairly well.
Yeah, I think he did a good job as the dad.
Yeah.
I think everyone pretty much fit their part pretty well.
Yep.
It wasn't one where I was like, oh, that voice kind of seems off or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. They all seem to kind of fit their roles well, but to be honest, all you need to do to fit the role is to be normal, which for James Belushi is yeah, all he can do.
It's not like he's voicing a giant turtle or anything like that.
Yep, definitely.
Which you never know with a Studio Ghibli movie.
What Studio Ghibli movie has a giant turtle?
Oh, I just made that up.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think there is a Studio Ghibli movie with a giant turtle in it.
There's gonna be. After
Someone
they
correct
listen to
me
this
if I'm
one.
Wrong. Yeah, the Studio Ghibli scout that's listening to this podcast for new ideas.
Yeah, I'm sure he's still listening at this point of the podcast.
Make your next movie about a giant turtle if you're still listening to this.
Oh no! Now I have to review Giant Turtle Cast.
So I don't know what else we can really say about this movie. Like,
so Dave, does this relate to your family at all? Is your family like this at all?
We're not this interesting, I would say.
Oh.
We're kind of just normal family. At least now we are. We used to have our arguments and stuff like that, like when I was younger. Then we were a little bit more like the Yamadas, I would say, but now we're just like, yeah, we get along.
You're just like the Dennises?
Yeah. That would be the boringest sitcom ever.
I'm going to make it just to prove a point.
So what, like, would you recommend this movie to someone getting into Studio Ghibli?
Yeah, if you, like, have, like, a family, like, why not watch that? I mean, yeah, it's a decent enough family movie that has enough stuff for everyone and doesn't, like, pander to, like, really little kids like a lot of American ones do. So you won't have any, like, really, really stupid potty humor or any dumb crap like that. So I found this boring, but I'm sure normal people with hearts may actually enjoy it a lot more than I will. So, you know. There's that.
Yeah, it's definitely, don't go into this expecting like a really involved plot line. And don't go into it expecting weird magical stuff like in Spirited Away. Go in with the right expectations and you'll probably enjoy it, I would say. It's not, I wouldn't recommend, if you haven't watched anything Studio Ghibli though yet, I wouldn't recommend this as your first one. I'd say watch like two or three of their other films first before you watch this one, because it has no plot really, it can be more challenging.
Yeah,
I guess.
I will say I like this one way better than Totoro, which I hate Totoro.
I can't believe you hate Totoro. I love that movie.
I am not a Totoro fan.
I think the only Ghibli movies I really don't like are maybe The Cat Returns and Pompoko.
I can't wait to watch Pompoko.
That might be next week. I don't know.
Pompoko has been the movie I've been anticipating watching since my birth.
Wow. Yeah, it's got raccoon balls, but we'll get to that next week.
Yes.
And what else? I'm actually not a huge fan of Grave of the Fireflies. I know everyone's like obsessed with that one, but I just couldn't get into it. I just found it kind of boring.
That's weird. That's interesting.
Maybe that's me not having a heart.
Yeah. even I think you don't have a heart when you don't like Grave of the Fireflies. Come on, Dave.
I know.
Come on.
That's the movie you're supposed to watch and cry. I just watched and was like,
eh. I've seen better worse. Those kids are deserved.
I've seen better kid death movies.
You're sitting there going, the kids deserved it.
I wouldn't go that far, but no, I didn't like it that much.
You wouldn't go that far
as much
public.
As everyone else. Yeah, not on this podcast, but once the cameras are off.
There's cameras? Where? Who's watching me?
Everywhere.
Uh-oh.
No. So that's pretty much all I have to say about this one. Any final thoughts?
Not really. I think we ran out of final thoughts like half an hour ago, and we've just been rambling.
Yeah,
since.
My final thoughts are that we should end this podcast because I really have to go pee.
Oh well, I enjoyed this
TMI,
podcast.
I know.
I enjoyed this, folks. This is a fun one for me.
Okay, good, good. All right, so hopefully next week Andrew will enjoy himself just as much. And I don't know which one. I think we're either doing Pompoko or Nausicaa, depending on Scott's schedule. But
Scott's
whatever
schedule,
it is,
Scott's schedule.
We'll like, ooh, Scott's schedule. Whichever one it is, I'll try and remember to post it in the Facebook group so, you know, people can get excited about it, I guess.
Yeah, comment on our Facebook pages.
Yeah, go look up Movie Madness on Facebook. Come on, you guys. Yeesh. All right, so that about wraps it up for this week's Movie Madness. Don't forget to send us your feedback. Feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line Movie Madness. And until next week, we have been
Andrew trying to figure out a new nickname, Roebuck.
And David, my nickname never changes, Double D, Dennis. See you later.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face.
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the does that mean? That 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
You guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.